We have a great panel here with us today. I'd like to introduce them, and our process will be each of them will give their presentations, and we'll save questions for the end of the panel presentation here. So on my far left, we have J.P. Leiter, and he is the Senior Research and Evaluation Officer at the De Beaumont Foundation. Dr. Leiter joined the foundation in 2013 and is responsible for intramural research, providing technical assistance to practice partners, and working with the foundation's grantees on research and evaluation components of funded projects. He holds a PhD in health policy and management from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. In the middle, we have Samantha Morgan, and she is a senior program analyst at the National Association of County and City Health Officials, i.e. NACHO. She serves as the project lead for the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response Cooperative Agreement. This project improves the collaboration between the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and local health departments. It enhances national health security, fosters community health resilience, and strengthens healthcare, public health, and emergency management systems. Additionally, she supports the Enhancing Local Public Health Emergency Preparedness and Response Capacity Building Assistance Project, funded by CDC by managing NACHO's preparedness infrastructure and subject matter on administrative preparedness. And Samantha has, I think, put handouts all over the room here today, so you can have the materials that she'll be referencing, I imagine, during her presentation. And then we have Jessica Young, and Jessica is in the middle, and she is the fourth-year PhD candidate in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. Her research focuses on health disparities, particularly the politics of health equity policies at the state level. Prior to attending the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, Jessica studied political science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and earned a master's degree in health promotion management at American University. So we're going to start out with JP. So welcome.
Thanks, everyone, for coming to an 8:30 session. I know it's a bit early for all the numbers I'm about to throw at you. In today's presentation, I'm going to be talking through how much state health agencies are spending in public health and what other agencies at the state level are spending on public health to try and get a better sense of what are we as a nation spending. I don't have any items to disclose. Before I get going, let me tell you a bit about the De Beaumont Foundation. We were endowed by Pierre de Beaumont to transform the practice of public health through strategic and engaged grant making. And though we don't accept unsolicited proposals at this time, I will say we work in the area of public health workforce, public health infrastructure, and data and information. I'm happy to talk more about the foundation after today if anybody has any additional questions. So in today's talk, we're going to be first going through what some of the challenges are with defining how much we spend in public health. Then we'll go through two analysis of two primary research questions. As I alluded to up front, how much are designated state health agencies spending, and how much is everybody else spending at the state level on public health? And then we'll discuss. So the background here is that we don't know how much we're spending on public health. Last year's IOM report on public health finance was one of the most significant kind of futuring efforts in this space in the last decade, and really one of the first reports to look specifically at the issue of public health finance. They make several really important recommendations, like setting targets for life expectancy, for health spending, maybe for increasing how much we spend on public health to fund a to-be-determined minimum package of services. But one of the issues that they bring up, and that I'll be driving on a lot here, is that there's not a consensus on how much we're actually spending, and let me tell you a little why. So first we have, sorry in the back if you can't see, this chart shows how much we're spending as a nation on health, including healthcare, public health. And in the red, that's the growth over time. And this little line, which you might not be able to distinguish from the horizontal axis, this blue line, is how much we spend on public health. Something like 3%, although you'll hear me argue today, maybe even a little bit less than that. But how do we get this little blue line, and how do we get other estimates of public health finance? The main sources are from the two member organizations that represent officials at the state health agency level and the local health department level, so ASTO and NACHO, respectively. ASSO asks their members for data and excludes certain items like Medicaid or behavioral health because each state health agency set up a little bit differently. So to the extent that you include those, you'll get very drastically differing numbers, which I'll show you in a bit. NACHO kind of gets a sense from their members of how much is being spent at any part of the local health department. Trust for America's Health takes a little bit of a different approach by looking at what they consider to be the state investment in public health. So for those estimates, they kind of exclude a lot of the federal dollars and represent those separately. And finally, what we'll be talking about for a lot of today is what I think is a really underutilized source of public health finance information from the census that actually serves as the basis for the public health activity estimate. This blue line you saw here are derived from census estimates. So these different agencies collect data in different ways for different reasons at different times, and so you get different estimates. ASCO says in 2008, the last year that everybody had these data available, state health agencies spent something like $24 billion. And again, that doesn't include Medicaid, doesn't include behavioral health, and it's only spending by the designated state health agencies. What I should mention is that the census is a little bit different because it's not looking just at state health agency spending, but any government agency spending on public health. So it's a little bit different. And then Trust for America's Health, as I said, is looking at just the state investment of legislatures, et cetera, into state health agencies. And so their estimates may be half of that, which makes sense when you exclude all the federal dollars as they do. So ASCO estimated $24 billion spent. But the census says we spent something like $60 billion at the state level. $40 billion in current operations at all state agencies on public health, and $20 billion in state to local transfers. So why are these estimates so different, strikingly different? Part of it is what the census counts as public health. So as I said, ASCO excludes Medicaid, ASCO excludes behavioral health in their state health agency estimates, which makes sense. But if you look at what the census includes, it's a lot of things that I think everybody in this room would be expecting, but maybe a lot of things that we might not, because we haven't defined or included some of these things in traditional public health finance estimates. So community healthcare programs, notably, so a lot of outpatient clinics, not run by health departments, just kind of any that are being run by state agencies. Behavioral health, disability spending, are all included in what the census calls public health. And that's fine if we know it and talk about it as such, but we tend not to, so it's worth mentioning here. So for today's presentation, I'm going to dig a little into the census data, because right now we're only using national aggregate estimates from the census. The census looks at how much we're spending on education and transportation, and every governmental service, public health is just one slice, and because it's so small, they haven't really looked at it themselves, and we've really only looked at the aggregate national estimates for each year. So we're going to dig a little bit into that. First, we'll talk through how much state health agencies are spending and in which areas, because as you might expect, a lot of state health agencies do things other than just public health. And kind of the complement there is how much are all governmental agencies spending specifically on public health to try and get us a sense of things. So for the last several years, the census has received administrative data from state budget offices. And these data, as I said, aren't just public health spending, but every state governmental agency and the activities they have. So this goes all the way down to object level data for many states, most states, I would say. So what we have to do is pull out public health spending. And for those of you taking notes, those are functional codes 32 and 27, public health and environmental health, respectively. And we have to, from these millions of records, identify and pull the designated state health agencies. So to give you an example, just for 2011 data, there were probably 2 million budget records, of which we can pull about 150,000 and have to do with public health agency spending or spending by other agencies on public health. And then for our purposes, we're just aggregating by state and agency. I'll spoil my message a little bit up front here and say this, what we're showing, is just descriptive of what the data are right now, but there's good reason to think that we might need to do further reclassification of some of what the census has done to get a better sense of what's kind of traditional public health spending versus not. So first, how much are state health agencies spending in what areas? On the left, you've got in blue public health, which Spencer calls health services other. And again, this can include traditional public health, behavioral health, disability, community health care. In the purple, you've got reimbursement to third-party providers, so a lot of that can be paid for medical care. So in this freestanding, these are traditional departments of public health. In the middle, we've got super agencies, so those that might have public health and something else like behavioral health or Medicaid is most traditional, and you can kind of see that here, right? So the substantial growth in purple, no surprise, almost all of that's going to be Medicaid reimbursements to third-party providers. And so that just kind of gives you a sense of things. And in some of these agencies, there's also public welfare, which is more broadly. So Department of Health and Social Services sort of thing. All right, so I'm going to lead you through a couple maps. And it'll start fine, and then it'll get more cluttered, but hopefully it'll make sense. So we've got, in the darkest green, agencies that are spending the most, designated state health agencies that are spending the most in anything. And you can kind of see here the scale is in the many billions of dollars. So what you kind of expect in some of these agencies that are spending the most, it's going to be super agencies, which I'll show you here. In the blue, public health, in the yellow, everything else, most of that's going to be third-party reimbursement. So you can see in these dark states, the public health slice, very small, very small. Some states that are mostly blue are going to be super agencies that are all counted as public health, if that makes sense. So a Department of Public Health, maybe behavioral health or welfare, et cetera. But you can see that, you know, in like Utah is a really good example, or Michigan's a really good example. They have public health, but their Medicaid is just so much more that when you include these, just spending by state health agencies, it's not really comparable across the various states. And that's exactly the reason that ASTO excludes Medicaid, because it would drown everything out in their estimates. So this is state health agency spending for super agencies, so I'll bring in the rest of them for you, just to give you a sense. And this is where it kind of gets somewhat overwhelming. But the idea here is you can see in these agencies that are standalone, just much more kind of public health, as you'd expect, with a little bit less of everything else. So the second question is, how much are all state government agencies spending in public health per se? We just looked at what state health agencies spend on public health, everything else. Now we're going to just narrow it down on the public health question and go broader on the who's spending. Okay, so from fiscal 07 through 11, we averaged the data just to give folks a sense of things. In the blue here, again, we have spending from designated state health agencies. And this is mostly going to be on traditional public health, though this would also include behavioral health, et cetera, because the census thing includes it. And until we parse that out, they're always going to be reported together. So we've got most of the spending in public health at the state level, as you would expect, coming from the designated state health agencies. We've got in the red some coming from environmental health and protection agencies, green from designated behavioral health agencies, purple, human services, so that's a lot of kind of spending in community health care, where you'd expect to see those kinds of expenditures. Similarly, healthcare financing, and then disability spending. So to give you just an idea, a lot of the spending that the census is capturing and saying that we as a nation are spending in public health, not going on in our designated state health agencies. And that's fine, but we just haven't talked about it too much before, and it's probably worth a conversation. All right, so in this map, we've got, again, darker green, more being spent, but the scale is very different. So in most of these agencies, you know, we're talking the hundreds of millions, not billions. In the blue is spending by state health agencies, and in the yellow is everywhere else. And I don't want you to necessarily remember any particular country, but the idea, the reason I'm showing you this, is that every state is so different in terms of how they're spending, where they're spending. And it's something that we have not talked about in this way when we're looking at just the national aggregate estimates of public health activity. Because it might be that we're not capturing traditional public health spending with the way these estimates are currently being put out by census. So here's the final chart I'll show you, map I'll show you. This is a change in public health spending according to census data from 07 through 11. And in the red, you know, the red is cuts, green is growth. That muddy brown is not too much change. For those of you who work in this space, this map is going to look very different than what you're getting from ASCO or from NAGO. And the idea here is that there are actually states, at least at the state level, I should say, so more of the ASCO data, where there's more growth than you'd expect to see. So why might that be if we think that state health agencies on the whole or on average are getting cut? Well, it's just a hypothesis at this point. But the idea, I think, is if we know the state health agencies are getting cut, and we know that behavioral health and community health care and disability is also included in this estimate, it's not too unreasonable to think that growth in those spaces, behavioral health, disability, community health care, are offsetting the cuts to public health agencies, but are all kind of getting conflated together in our national aggregate estimate of public health activity. And so that's a pretty important point of conversation as we're thinking about how much do we need to be spending on public health? Well, right now I don't think we know how much we are spending on public health. So IOM, as I said, roughly calls for doubling the federal investment in public health with kind of the idea that states would also need to contribute additional dollars to meet some kind of minimum package or foundational package of public health services. But the challenge when we're thinking about how much, you know, what's our target going to be is right now our baseline includes things that we have not counted as traditional public health spending. And so that makes me ask the question, how much are we spending and how does that relate to how much we should be spending? And if there is growth, as this map suggests, where is the growth coming from? So naturally, I think the next steps are to classify records at the sub-agency level, which you can do with these census data. You can even go down to the object level data, so we know how much some state health agencies are spending on, for instance, wages or rent or materials, things that we really haven't had access to before. And especially, I should say, reimbursements to providers, I think, is one of the most important ways we need to kind of parse these data. And I don't think that as data are reclassified, you have to exclude behavioral health, or you have to exclude disability spending, or you have to exclude community health care. But you should probably pull it out from the other kind of traditional public health services to get a sense of how things are changing in these various kinds of subcategories within public health as the census considers it. Once these data are reclassified, we can look at the connection between spending and health outcomes. One of the wonderful things about these census data is that they go back 50 years and haven't really been used in this way before in the space of public health. And finally, it seems natural that if we go through the efforts of cleaning and documenting these data, that we want to put it out to the field so folks in this room and elsewhere can take a look at these data as well. So with that, we'll do questions at the end. Thanks.